It's good to be back home. I was out for 6-7 days or so, and up at Suffering out in Lake Tahoe, and just doing a little bit of hiking and swimming and out with the family. You know, you go out with your family, and it's not just my family. You know, I used to go on vacation, just my family, and then the sins. Of course, my sister married a sinner. And then the Chows. You know, I guess somebody, almost everybody's related to me somehow or another over here. Somebody said, you know, this church is going to be, everybody's in our church is going to be related at one point or another here in the life of our church because everybody's marrying each other. We go out, we have a good time, make good memories, and we're at this place. It's called Immigrant Gap. And we went hiking, and drove in, and you know, just going out. I wanted to go check out a waterfall, and we're out that way, and we found this place you can jump. Now I'm not a jumper, but I like to watch people jump. You say, why do you find these places and you don't do it? Because I like to see people suffer. Family, no family, doesn't matter, you know. We found this cliff. I told the kids, I said, hey, y'all go up there and jump. Uncle, you go up there, jump. No, I just stay right out, take pictures. So my niece goes up there, Jackie, she goes up and jumps, and all I see is going, I guess she wanted to dive, Pastor Chardo, but then she changed her mind, and sure enough, face first, belly, and I got that on video. It was awesome. We're driving back from Immigrant Gap, and I'm just driving, I go, what is that on the road? And we see this humongous rattlesnake. And we get out, and I'm taking pictures, and my mom and Campbell, hey, don't touch it, don't leave it alone. She's saying this in Khmer. I said, oh, mom, don't worry, my wife's over there. You know, I've been camping before, and we go catch rattlesnakes. This one time, we're up in Big Bear, and Brother Jerry, he's a fifth-degree black belt, beat 100 people at a time, and that's what he says anyways. So we're up there, and and that time I was a teenager. And we're up in Big Bear, and it was springtime, and it was, you know, we're going up there. We said, you know, I just have a feeling that we're going to catch some rattlesnakes. So we go up, we creep upon a, what do you call it, a bed of rattlesnakes? A lot of rattlesnake, okay? We'll just put it that way, a grip of them for some of you guys that are, you know, millennials and everything like that. But we creeped up upon this, just rattlesnakes everywhere. And one of the kids, you know, they go and they're digging out these rattlesnakes. And back then, you're not thinking, what in the world? So here we are. We're not, you know, Steve Irwin or anything like that, rattlesnake hunter. We're just regular old immigrant Cambodians. We're there, and Brother Jerry, he's a tough guy. He stands on a rock. Give me the gun! Give me the gun! Thinking, look, you know, our tools were a machete, some kind of grass cutter and stuff. We're just hiking, having a good time. And I'm looking back at that story. We had guys digging these rattlesnakes out. What happens if he digs it out and he finds them? You know, because they see us, they scatter, they're hiding. To make a long story short, we caught five of them, chop off their head. I don't know if that was legal or not. Just, you know, if animal control or something rolls up the game warden. I don't know anything about it. But, yeah, we had a good time. But this time, a rattlesnake, you know, everybody's coming out looking at it, taking pictures. We had a good time. We brought rafts, and we thought we were going to raft down the Truckee River. But Brother Ramirez, where's Brother Ramirez? Is he here? See here? Brother Ramirez probably outside there. There's not that much water left. So we couldn't do that much rafting. So we decided to go from this place called Emerald Bay, decided to go from the shore to this island. So we're just, let's just raft down there. So we raft out. On the way back, you get tired. My wife, we're tired, so she jumps out and swim and pulls the boat back. So it's good, you know, when you need somebody to pull the boat, just send your wife out swimming and pull the boat. But we always have a good time, make good memories there, and do something with your family. I love our church. One of the things I love about our church, one of the core values that we have in our church is the family. And our pastor preached the day and night. I mean, that was big. And one of the big things he emphasize is the next generation. See, I've been the youth pastor here for quite some time. I want to say over 20 years I've been the youth pastor here. And I want to say maybe 21, 22 years I've been the youth pastor here. And I've seen a lot of teenagers, a lot of kids grow up. And the statistics have said that over 80% of teenagers growing up in a church, after they graduate, leave the doors of the church never to return. As a youth pastor, that saddens my heart. Let me say this. As a parent, that saddens my heart. I don't want my children growing up in church, not because church, but because of the Lord. I don't want them to turn their back on the Lord. I want them to live right. I want them to marry right. I want them to serve the Lord for the rest of their life, whether in ministry or not. I want them to love the Lord and seek the Lord with all their heart. When I hear a statistic like that, it breaks my heart. Because as a youth worker, I've been working with teenagers, and my goal for them is not that they get a good job, though some of them get great jobs, and that's awesome, and not to be successful in this life, but my goal as a youth pastor is for our children and our teenagers to graduate and find God's will in their life and do it. But the truth of the matter is, we're losing a lot of teenagers. And I thank God that's not the case here at Pacific Baptist Church. We have a lot of teenagers that stick. No, we have some that go away. But the majority of our teenagers, they want to do right. They love the Lord. They love their parents. Let me say this, teenagers. Look up here. Love your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You ought to thank God. Listen to me. You ought to thank the Lord if your parents are sitting with you in church tonight. You know, some teenagers don't have that. Their parents are in the bar right now. Matter of fact, some of them never even met don't even know who their mama or who their daddy is. They live with grandpa and grandma. You ought to thank God you have parents that, not perfect, but they try. Amen. Psalm chapter 127. Psalm chapter 127. I am in no way a self-proclaimed teen expert. You are a teen expert on rearing children before you have teenagers. And when you have teenagers, it's a whole different ball game. I have two of them that are in junior high now. And Brother Joseph, what your dad was talking about back then, I know now. You know, I thank God for a preacher. Back in the day, I'm thinking, as a young youth pastor, man, pastor's a old fuddy-duddy. Well, what in the world is he talking about? And as you get older, you're thinking, man, our pastor's wise. Our staff people that have teenagers, they know what's going on. Brother Chim came to my office one time. He came to me. I can't believe this person did this. I said, you know why they did that, Charlie? They're not a bad person. I said, because number one, they're not married. Number two, they don't have any teenagers. They don't have any children. They don't understand these things. I said, well, I remember before I had children, pastor's like, you know, he's very particular on who his children go with. I'm like, what in the world? We're all saved here, right? We're all Christians here. And I remember when I had children, and going to the nursery, I would ask, Pastor, now who's working in the nursery? He's like, Brother Ross, remember that time that you did, you know, said who, you know, you always question, or I always question you, who's going on activities and stuff like that? Now you're in that situation. I say, I understand. But I love our pastor and his vision and his emphasis on the children. Psalm 127, verse 3, the Bible says this, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Turn to Psalm chapter 23 real fast. Psalm 23. I'm sorry. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. I apologize for that. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 24, the Bible says this, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray as we study your word here, the next couple of minutes, that we have a better relationship with our children, parents with children, children with parents. Lord, the teenagers here and the young people here are the next generation. And it's important as adults that we reach them, that we win their hearts, that we love them, that we mentor them in the ways of righteousness. Help us today as we learn your word to be encouraged. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I love our church. One of the reasons I love our church is because of the youth and because of the young people. You know, the young people of today are going to be our leaders tomorrow. I just went to a church, and good church. My wife and I were sitting there, and we noticed there was a lot of gray hair. Now, I'm not opposed to gray hair. Gray hairs are good. Old people are good at a church. But one thing that was lacking is a lot of young people. I was talking to my mom, and she noticed that. She said, "Son, there's a lot of old people in this church." And she said this: "These old people are going to die. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen to the church?" See, if we don't reach young people, if we don't keep our young people, if we don't invest in the next generation, we won't have a church. If we don't teach them biblical ways, if we don't preach to them, and we don't guide them in the way that they should go, in the biblical way, not this, you know, fuddy-duddy Christianity, but in biblical Christianity, we're not going to have it. They're not going to know what it is. They're going to think they go to a church and the rock band and, you know, the hip-hop and everything like that. That is normal. By the way, that is not normal. Church is church. Church is not a concert, a fellowship, a place where you come and just hang out. Church is a place where you come to reverence and to hear and to worship Almighty God. That's why we don't have a rock band. That's why we have different standards and everything like that. And people rag, or they'll say, "Oh, these, you know, independent Baptists and churches like you, just these standards, legalists." Really? I remember my nephew. I called him. I said, "You working, man?" He said, "No, I'm not working." Hate to embarrass a camera, Shanice. I said, "Why aren't you working?" He said, "I didn't come to work in work clothes today." I said, "Oh, they have standards for you at that workplace?" He said, "Yeah, if I don't dress right, they won't let me work." I said, "Oh, it's too bad. I mean, why don't they call, you know, Healthcare Partners legalists?" But we got to teach our children in the way they should go. We need to teach our children and train them right. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 27:21, "As a fining pot of silver in the furnace of gold, so is a man to his praise." Praise is important for teenagers. Your children are looking for approval from you, mom and dad, from you, Sunday school teacher, from you, spiritual leader. By the way, I love our kids. They go through a lot. You don't understand. I mean, as a teenager, and I work with teenagers, a lot of them go through, I mean, their body's changing. Their voice is changing. Some of these teenagers, they're talking like this. The deeper voice. And some of them, their pants are... Walk by and said, "Hey man, what's going on, Noah?" not Noah, your son either. They're flooded. Why? Their body is changing, and you know, their social life is changing, and they get something called acne. Man, what is in the world is that speck on my face? What should I do? Should I put a band-aid on? Should I pop it? Should I, you know, I mean, some of them, they think, "Oh yes, I'm mature now. Look at this pimple. Awesome." I remember one of the teenagers, every basketball tournament, I won't tell you who, every basketball tournament, he would get this big one on his nose. One year, the basketball guys wrestled him down, and they popped that thing, and it oozed like a volcano. Nasty. But teenagers are looking for approval. Encouragement is huge. The most hopeless young people is the one who feels he or she just can't make it. Man, my parents just don't understand. I've tried, I try, and I try, and I try, and I try, and it just seemed like, man, I'm not good enough. By the way, there's a lot of teenagers like that. There's teenagers that grow up in a good youth department, that sit under great preaching, that have great parents, but they feel like they're a loser when it comes to Christianity. Let me say this, parents. Our teenagers shouldn't feel like that. Too often we as parents, not purposely, but lead our kids to that conclusion. We easily and we come too quick to look at their faults. And we see so much of their shortfalls that we miss out as parents on all the good things are and good character qualities that our children has. By the way, I'm guilty of it just like you are. Because as people, sometimes we tend to see the negative more than we do the positive. I did this, I got it from Brother Myers, this idea, but you get a piece of paper, a clean white sheet of paper, and you put a dot on it. And I did it to the Khmer Department, I said, what do you see? What do those people see? A little spot. A little tittle, a little dot. That's just one little dot. They miss out on all that white space that's clean and right. And we as parents sometimes tend to see the negativity of our children, and yet we miss out and we phase out and we don't concentrate on all their good qualities. And by the way, teenagers, let me say this. Don't go to your parents and say, You ought to love your parents and encourage them. Amen. I'm just going to give you a couple points here. I got about 15, 20 minutes. Give you 15 points. Is that okay? How to encourage your children. How to encourage your children. I told Brother Machado, when I preach, I usually have 3 points. And it's almost like a Thursday Bible study here. So I have 15 points. How to encourage your children. By the way, you have to encourage your children. The devil beats on them. The world beats on them. And they're going to find satisfaction. And they're going to find acceptance from somewhere. It's either you and the church or outside. Some boy that's winking at your teenage daughter. Some hobby that steals your son's heart. That's going to come out. And they're going to say, man, you are a good this, that, and the other. And they're going to feed off that. And by the way, parents, you lose their hearts. Because if you lose your children's hearts, it's going to be hard to get back. And by the way, what you did yesterday is not going to be good enough for today. You have to constantly win their hearts day by day. You can't live on, but I did this for you and we did this together. Yeah, that was a long time ago. How about what are you doing now? You have to constantly win their hearts. So let me give you some ways to encourage your children here. Number one, speak praise to them. Speak praise. They have too much. Don't do this, don't do that. And by the way, that needs to be there. I'm not saying sugarcoat it and never tell your kids when they're wrong. When they're wrong, tell them. But let me say this. Don't stop there. Tell them when they do right. Praise them. You know, just, hey, man, you did good on this. By the way, be careful, though you still praise it, be careful to praise talent over character. Because one kid might not be as smart as the other kid, but both kids can work hard. And sometimes we, as parents, tend to, man, this guy's talented, he's good in sports, he's good in this, that one, And we praise talent instead of character. My kids, academically, they're not all the same. When I go to places, sometimes I'll ask one of my kids, how do you say that word? You say, why? Because I don't know it. How do you pronounce that? I don't know all the rules. I still speak fob sometimes. You know? But they're all academically different. Praise hard work. By the way, somebody said this. 7 praise to 1 rebuke. You're doing good. 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 And then, you rotten scoundrel. But you know how most of us are sometimes? Why did you do this? I can't believe you did. Go do this. You messed up here. You messed up there. Did you see them do good? Nah, that's expected of them. And we say nothing. By the way, the Asian culture is big on that. Sometimes we think we're inferior if we praise and make good of our children. Praise them. Speak praise to them. Number two, write your children notes. Write them notes. And be specific. Email them. Do something. But write them something. Don't just say, hey, I thought about you today, which is good. But write good things about them. List it. Send them a letter. You know, emails are great, but sometimes I like letters. My kids, they love letters that come up. They come, you know, they have the Kaiser Permanente card letters. They come, you know. Hey, Nate, you got mail. I got mail. Really? That's junk mail, man. So, you know, his name and my name is the same. Hey, son, somebody sent you something. Yeah. Write them letters. Number next. Speak highly of them in front of others. Speak highly of them. You know what parents do sometimes? Well, I'm going to embarrass them so they'll learn. When they're with their friends, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to come and rip their face so they'll, you know what you just did? You just wounded their spirit. You didn't break their spirit, you wounded it. You hurt them when you do that. Speak praise. When they hear you, speak good about them to others. You know what that does? It gives them kind of like a little perk. By the way, publicly say good things about them. Our pastor, he would always say good things about his children. And by the way, they earned it. But when they earned it, he said good things about them. He used the pulpit to help his children. You guys, you know, we don't all have the opportunity to preach. But you know what? We have the opportunity, just like Pastor would. We have the opportunity to say nice things. Use your platform. Use your time when people are around, family. Man, my daughter did this. My son did this. And by the way, we don't want to flatter them. There's a difference between flattery and good godly praise. Number next, acknowledge their heart. Acknowledge their heart. Let them know you understand their good intentions, even when the outcome isn't what it should be. We have kids that want to do right. And sometimes they just fall short. They just fall short. And I can remember some kids, they'd be in the youth pastor, I had no stories. I'm thinking, you know, a kid just, they just need a chance. They have a good heart. But they seem to always put their foot in their mouth. Acknowledge their heart. Number next, seek to understand their emotions. See what they're going through. Man, they're going through a lot. Some of your kids, they probably won't even tell you. In school, in Christian school, in Christian school, sometimes their friends say dumb things to each other because that's how teenagers are. They say dumb things to each other. And by the way, teenagers, let me say this. If you're doing a joke and the only person that's laughing is you, it's not funny, it's hurtful. Okay? You don't go and rag on people and bully people like that. I mean, your friends, you mess around or whatever, that there's a difference than being mean to people. Seek to understand their emotions. Number next, reward them. You know what? Sometimes, and by the way, reward them tangibly. Sometimes it's good just to get something. We went to an outlet after church on Sunday. My family and my children's grandma, both of them rode with us, and we went to the outlet. And we're just walking around. And Nathan was standing by me, and he was holding my hand. I said, hey, son, I'll teach you a trick. See grandma over there? Go hold grandma's hand. He said, why? Go hold grandma's hand, you might get something. Okay. Hold grandma's hand. He comes to me, dad, grandma's gonna buy me stuff. Told ya. So we're at Old Navy. Old Navy, he got himself a shirt. And then grandma said, you can have some shoes, son, get some shoes. And he looked at those shoes. Who wants Old Navy shoes? He said, grandma, can we go to a different store? So grandma comes to me, he said, hey, Nate, your son wants to go to a different store to buy shoes. Is that okay? I said, you sure, Mom? I mean, Old Navy shoes are $8, $10, $20. He said he wants to go to that Nike store. The kid's 8 years old. So we go to the Nike store. I said, Dad, can I get some Jordans? I'm like, Jordans? How do you know about Jordans? When I was your age, I was wearing XJ900. I said, what's XJ900? That's the Payless shoe special. Yeah. Jordan, yeah, I want to bring maybe some Curry, some Jordans. I'm like, oh, my soul. But he was happy. He got himself some joy. He came and said, Dad, can I wear my Jordans today? I said, go ahead, son. Have at it. Wear it. You should have saw his eyes when he was opening up. He got something tangible. Get your kids something tangible. You say, I just don't have money. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It doesn't have to be Jordans. You know, it could be something that they enjoy. Take them out to eat. Do something for them. Reward them. Every effort of them doing right, reward it. By the way, some parents reward their children when they do wrong. Oh, when they do wrong, okay, son, come on. And there's got to be some time for that where you speak to your children, but reward them when they do right, not when they get in trouble. Number next, honor and respect their opinions. Now, let me say that with some caution or some footnote here. Most of the time, sometimes they ain't got no sense. You know, have options for them and let them decide. You know, my wife last night, we just got back from vacation. She didn't want to cook. She was baking and everything like that. Don't be like my wife. My wife's awesome. So she said, hey, let's go out to eat tonight. I said, fine, let's do it. I said, just pick wherever you want to go. She said, okay, let's pick. She said, let's go to Claws. It's like a boiling crab kind of thing. Claws, Boiling Point, it's like a hot pot place. Or Golden Corral. Golden Corral is a buffet. Now, you know, I used to be all for buffets, but in Cambodia, called buffet. But I'm not into the buffets anymore because I have a little bit of discipline now, Brother Pineda. Just because the food's there doesn't mean you have to eat it. You eat till you're full to live. You don't live to eat, right? I used to be the other way where I lived to eat. I remember getting on the scale, I was almost 180 pounds. I'm thinking, it's got to be changing my lifestyle here. We got to do something about this or else I'm going to die. And somebody else is going to marry my wife and take my life insurance money. We're not having that. But she gave three decisions. So she said Claws, Hot Boiling Point, or Golden Corral. I said, wherever you want, hon. In my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? I kind of want a steak. Claws have pretty good steaks. So I said, I'm okay. So she comes, I said, where do you want to go? I said, you want to go to Claws? Well, I'm not feeling that Claws right now. And I kind of want to go to Boiling Point. I said, so why do you give options? I said, if you wanted to go to Boiling Point, why don't you say, let's go to Boiling Point? That was fine. You know, don't give options if you're not going to listen to my opinion. Give your kids options. Let them know, hey, what do you think about this? Get them in on the family conversation. But I'm not talking about little JoJo, small little, you know, peepsqueak knower. You know, he doesn't know anything. I'm talking about when they get older, they're teenagers. Get them in on some of the decisions and respect their ideas. Number next, spend time with them. Spend time with them. You know, sometimes we're busy. Some of you, I understand your work schedule. You go to work, you come late, and you're exhausted. You say, you know what? I don't need to spend time with them. I put food on their table, I put clothes on their back, and a roof over their head. That doesn't do it. Take vacations. Take family vacations with your children. They're all going to grow up soon. You're not going to have that opportunity. Spend time with them. Take them out. Sometimes my daughters and I, we just go on dates. I tell my wife, if you don't want to go out with me, I'll take my daughters. We'll go out on dates and just have a good time. So it doesn't cost a lot. Sometimes we get ice cream. Sometimes, you know, we just go. I need to run to the store. Why don't you come with me? The little one knows if she comes with daddy, can I get a snack? Sure. 99-cent snack. But spend time with them. They know you're busy, so giving up quality and quantity time means a lot to them. I remember Pastor. Pastor's a busy man. I used to live with him. And he would make time during this building process. Sometimes I'm thinking, Pastor, you work too much. I said, take it easy. It's okay. This got to get done. But let me say this. He always had time for his family. Brother Myers, transitioning from assistant pastor to pastor, and just run the church. He didn't have a lot of time like he used to have before as far as just to, you know, mess around. And we didn't mess around, but it's just, time's precious. But he always has time for his family. Spend good quality time with them. Number next, express physical affection towards them. Give them a hug. Give them a hug. Rub their, you know, give them noogies or whatever. Not loogies, noogies. Touch them. How's it going? You know what? That means a lot to your daughter. It means a lot to your son. By the way, say these words. I love you. You mean a lot to me. He said, just nasty. If you don't say I love you to your daughter, some boy will. Express physical affection towards them. Number next, surprise them. I love being on staff here at our church. You say, why? At lunchtime, sometimes I just get to take people out. It's part of my job. Surprise them. Do things for them. Do things they enjoy. Hey, let's just go get ice cream today. Hey, let's spend some time with dad today. Let's go with mom today. Number next, do a random act of kindness for them. Help them clean their closet, their room. Do things for them. Just help them. Help them around the house. I'm almost out of time here. Number next, admire them. Admire your children. My children, I am a workhorse. Sometimes I treat my house like work scholarship, Brother Paul. This needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. This is how it gets done. Don't come to my house. If you come to my house, you just sit there, that's not going to happen. If you're an adult, that's fine. But you're a teenager, hey, buddy, come over here. Come help me out with this. You come to the church and hang out, you don't want to see me. You doing anything, man? No? I got something for you. Come on, follow me. I'll make you cleaners of the building. But do some, you know, my kids, I work them all the time. Go clean your room. Go do this, you know, massage dad's back, you know, clean my toenails, do, you know. Do something nice for them. Number next, praise them. We already went over that. Number next, make a big deal out of their good decisions. Bring out the bells and whistle. When your kids come and tell you, hey, I think God's doing this. I think God is leading me to, spoke to me in this way in church. Bring something out. Man, that's awesome. Do something nice. Yell it on the mound. Yeah, my kid did this. Yeah. Lastly, I'm done. This is the biggest one. Pray for your children. Pray for your children. By the way, pray that they do God's will. Parents, let me say this. Sometimes as parents, we have dreams for our children. You should. But make sure your dreams line up with what God wants them to do. Saddest conversation I've ever had with a parent. I remember the kids were doing well, teenagers. Real well. The girl was about a junior in high school, I believe, and she wanted to go to Bible college. Son was doing well. And I remember parents came and talked to me and said, you know what? I think we're going to take our kids out of the Christian school. I said, well, why would you want to do that? Well, I want them to have a good education. As opposed to our school doesn't give a good education? Where do you get that? I said, I want them to get a good education, go to university, and, you know, do something with their life. I said, ma'am, I said, it's more important that your children do God's will in their life. And this is what she said to me, church. He said, how about my will? Mom said, I want them to do my will. I didn't know what to say, Brother Pichardo. I was like, yes, ma'am. Because I'm all for the parent. If you come to me and say, hey, I want my child to smoke dope inside, I say, hey, that's not great, but do what you got to do. That's your children. You're going to answer to God. I'm here to help you. I don't tell your kids anything that you wouldn't want to tell your children yourself. And I just couldn't speak. I was like, I said, making a big mistake, but you're the parent, you know best, you do what you got to do. Rewind now to 2016. This was way back about maybe 15 or so years ago. No, maybe 10 to 12 years ago. fast forward, I should say, 2016. The daughter has children with two different men, not married. Just messed up life. Very irresponsible people. Son is a full-blown homosexual. And I can remember that conversation I had with them. And they said, I want my children to do my will. Parents, our children are the next generation. We got to teach them right. We got to love them. Your teenagers will be adults like that, real fast. If you don't win their hearts and you don't give them to the Lord, it's going to be hard. I want to see Anna and the Jensen children and, you know, the Chows over here and some of the Noah grow up here. And if they don't stay in our church, they're out serving somewhere, whether full-time or they're just a good layman in church. Let's win our children's heart. Let's give them to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.